Thank you, Grace, for doing the entire chapter there of Matthew 28. This is a section where there's so much happening and it happens so quickly. And consider the disciples, the women there that morning, and just a lot of confusion because Jesus' expectations were, people's expectations of him were so different. I appreciate Ryan's teaching from Palm Sunday of how we have a different expectation of Jesus. He was not the king that people were looking for. But this morning, there's three things from Matthew 28 I want us to look at. One, the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. Two, that all authority has been given to him. And three, he will be with his disciples to the end of the age. So the fact that he was raised from the dead means that he died. And his death was public and it was purposeful. He wasn't just caught up in some conspiracy. He didn't just get kind of carried away by the crowds. He came to fulfill the scripture. And even in his final moments on the cross, he, to fulfill scripture, asked for a drink. He said that he thirsted. So Jesus came to fulfill the scripture. He was the word of God and also the one who fulfilled all righteousness. He did it. Everything that was required, Jesus did it. He came to fulfill that law for us. I love how John the Baptist picks up on the fact that Jesus is the Lamb sent from God to take away the sins of the world, the one who would carry our sins for us as fulfillment. Here it was on the Passover, where a lamb had to be sacrificed for each family and the blood applied to the lintels of the doorpost and the head, prefiguring the cross. And then John, when he saw Jesus, said, "Here is the Lamb of God, the one sent to bear our sins." Jesus explains that clearly, that he was sent into the world to give eternal life. So then the question is, okay, is that true? These claims about Jesus and that his death was it? We know it was public. It was attested to. It was very well documented of all things in this time of history. The life of Jesus is more thoroughly documented than anything else. But is it true? We know that he's a historic person. There's no question about that. There is mountains of evidence about his existence. And the fact that he was a man, there's no question about that as well. He got tired. He slept. He ate food. He did all these things. But he was a man like no other. He had a self-mastery that was remarkable. People would try to kind of push him around, back him into a corner. He wouldn't get backed into a corner. He was in complete control of any situation. He loved children. He honored women in a time when that wasn't done. He was a man like no other. So people were fascinated by him, but it's so clear as well that he was God. Because only God could open the eyes of a man born blind. Only God could raise the dead, as he did for Lazarus. He could feed thousands with just loaves, bread. He had a very public ministry. He didn't do these things in isolation. And he had a very public death. So who he is as a person, as both man and God, is well documented, well attested. And then his resurrection, likewise. There's plenty of evidence. There was over 500 people at one time who saw him after he had risen from the dead. So just a note that this didn't happen on the margins or in secret, but it was attested to by many and documented thoroughly in God's word. John again says this, he did many more things which are not written in this book, but these things are written so that you may believe he is who he said he was, and by believing have life in his name. So we have enough to know who he is. So he raised from the dead. Secondly, he said, in verse 18, all authority has been given to him. Elizabeth read to us from Colossians that he is seated at the right hand of God, the position of power, position of authority. and all authority has been given to him. Now, something I love about the Old Testament, in the New Testament, things happen very rapidly. You know, from the beginning of it to the end, you're talking about maybe 90 years from when John writes the Revelation and from the beginning of it. I mean, it's a really rapid pace. The Old Testament, we have the benefit of seeing God dealing with people over generation after generation after generation. And so when he says that all authority has been given to him, we see this in the Old Testament. God accomplishing his purposes, even when it seems that all hope is lost, even when it seems all things have gone wrong. It seems like the bad guys are winning. But then we see God delivering his people against overwhelming odds. We started with that psalm this morning. The right hand of the Lord brings mighty things to pass. And we have the benefit of seeing that. We see how he delivered people through the Red Sea. And just imagine that, being the people of Israel, you've been brought out of Egypt mightily we've seen all these plagues that happened to the people of Egypt, but that did not happen to you and your people. And then you're there with your little ones, your family, I mean, entirely vulnerable. And the Egyptian army is barreling down on you, and there's a sea in front of you. I mean, that's hopeless. And then God goes behind them and puts a cloud, protects his people, and then opens up the Red Sea so that the people crossed on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Because all authority is his. He can open up seas so that you can walk through them. Or he can make others not be able to do the same. And then the people walked in, then the walls of Jericho fell down after being encircled 7 days. Again, consider the military strategy. If you go to some place and you're like, all right, what are we going to do, Joshua? All right, we're going to march around that city. All right. And then what? When do we get out the artillery? When do we get out the stuff? We're going to walk around it for 7 days. And on the seventh day, we're going to walk around it seven times. At this point, think, what is wrong with Joshua? And then we're going to shout, but it was because all authority has been given to God. He had it. And so his people obeyed, and by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. But by faith, he delivered Rahab, who had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And there's so many places through Israel's history, people larger, more numerous. God put foreign armies to flight in front of them. With Gideon, when the Midianites came against them, there were 135,000 Midianites, and God whittles Gideon's army down to 300. So there can be no question, because all authority has been given to God. He commands all things. There's times in Kings, 2 Kings, I love with Elisha, the Aramaeans, they come and surround him, and he looks out, he prays for his servants' eyes to be open, to be able to see. Greater are those who are with us than those who are, that are against us. And then he goes out and prays, and God strikes that entire army with blindness. And then he leads them into the city of, and what happens? The king is like, what do I do? He said, well, put food before them, feeds them, sends them on their way. Unbelievable things that are happening. There's another time when there was the people of God were besieged, and it was so severe that people were, you know, running out of food. And the Lord caused the army besieging them to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they fled. Because all authority is his. All things are his servants. So even when it seems things aren't going that way, we can look back and see what God has done and recognize that all authority is his. And even more so now, the last enemy to be destroyed was death. And now Jesus has done that. So we have Psalm 37 that says, fret not over the one who prospers in his way, over the one who carries out evil devices. Dwell in the land, befriend faithfulness, do the next right thing, trust in the Lord. And then Psalm 73, corollary, Psalm 37 and Psalm 73, these are goodness together. Where he says, I had almost despaired until I went into the temple of God and I got perspective, I got vision. And there, I remember, yes, the Lord has all authority. those who seem to be getting by and doing wicked, evil things, they are not going to succeed. So these two things separately, these are powerful, amazing truths we could spend time unpacking, that Jesus was raised from the dead, that all authority has been given to him. But when you put those things together, exponentially powerful. Consider this fact. He has an indestructible life, the writer of Hebrews tells us. So the administration is never going to change. He's never going to be up by somebody else. There's never going to be a new election to change things. He is living forever. The last enemy destroyed is death. He's defeated it, and he has all authority. So what he intends to accomplish, he will. He will bring to fulfillment the things that he wants to accomplish. And that involves us, involves his redeemed people. That is a massive truth. That is massively good news, that he's been raised and he has all authority. So he will accomplish what he intends to do. And then bring it down even just more personally. We've been thinking about him. And he says this at the end of Matthew. I am with you always to the end of the age. He is with us. So the one who was raised from the dead, who can never die again, the one who has all authority, he is with us to the end of the age. Just think about that. Now, my dad, when I was growing up, we went on a camping trip and we had a pop-up camper, which is like a little trailer, and the top of it, you know, it will raise and the sides will pop out, and the whole top of the thing is canvas. So it's like half tent, half camper. And we went on a camping trip to the Outer Banks one time. And I remember a severe storm came up. As we're there, it was my mom, my sister, me, my dad. And in the middle of the night, the storm was so bad that I was asleep. Dad had to wake me up, and he carried me and my sister and my mom. They walked to the laundry facility for the campground because it was made out of cinder blocks and had a, you know, concrete slab. So at least it's a, you know, safer place. So we got in there, and you know, it's a concrete slab, and he had carried my sleeping bag. I'm in there, and I think I had a towel or something rolled up as a pillow. And I remember it was middle of the night then. I kind of woke up, maybe a lightning flash or thunder, something happened. So I kind of rouse and I look up, and as I'm lying down there, my dad is sitting against the wall, and he sees me and he just winks at me, and I go right back to sleep because I'm with my dad. And he's already proven that he will risk himself for my good. It wasn't just then, but all through my life. I remember being at a grocery store during a thunderstorm, and Dad ran out to the car to get it and to drive up closer. And I remember thinking, I can never be a dad. I will never be that brave to be able to run through a thunderstorm for the sake of others. But I had perfect peace because I was with him. You know, what had I to be afraid of? And it continued as I got older, then even as we got married. My dad was really good with his hands. He was a good mechanic, working on vehicles or working on house projects. So if we needed something done, it's a plumbing thing, and if I got stuck, I just call my dad. He was a phone call away, and he loved to come see his grandbabies and see me and my wife. So I was fearless as it relates to any kind of project. Same with vehicles. There were times I'd be working on something and, oh man, I've rounded out that screw, that bolt. Now we can't drive this car. Call Dad. He's going to come. So I was never worried. I was fearless to go into different situations because my dad was a phone call away. And all that, that's just my dad. But consider that the one who was raised from the dead, who has all authority, he is with you. And he doesn't just have authority on spiritual things or your inner life. He has all authority. So if you need advice on how to run your business, you need help on relationships, all authority has been given to him. And he's defeated death. He's resurrected. He lives forever, and he has all authority. That's the one who is with you. I was reading this week in Deuteronomy 20. I love this verse 1. When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, he will be with you. the Israelites had Egypt to look at as a reminder of God's power, his provision for them. We have an even greater deliverance. He has been raised from the dead. What do we have to be afraid of? The last enemy to be destroyed is death. He has defeated death. All authority is his. He is with us. That means we can go out, as he told us, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So we can go out and take prudent risks for the sake of the kingdom, confident that he is with us. We feel stuck. He's going to help us. He's got all authority. He knows what to do. We will not die one day before the appointed time he has for us. All the days ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be. We can trust him. Each week we proclaim this: Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And that's not just a creed. This is about identity. This is about our belonging, whose we are. The one who has been raised is with us. He has made a way for us to be with him, coming to him by faith. And so these aren't just ideas or teachings, but this is all news of what has happened. Good news. So the question is, how do we respond to that news? What do we do in response to that? Well, the disciples, they went on and made it clear. They heralded that message. This is not news that just, you know, you can take it or leave it. This is news that changes everything. And they took that message. And when people heard it, they said, what must we do? He said, well, repent and believe the gospel. Turn to Christ. Believe that he is who he said he was, that all authority is his, and that he will be with his disciples to the end. And then start living as his disciple, his apprentice, his student. So that's the first step. And for those of us who are in Christ, the calling is to go on being discipled and becoming more and more like him. Again, if he has all authority, that means he knows how to live your life. In 2026, if he were in your shoes, he can counsel you. He can show you how to do that in a way that when people look at you, they recognize there's something different about them. That person is alive. There's something remarkable that I am drawn to about that, because we are drawn to people who are alive, are we? And so the question, though, is if these things are true, that he was raised from the dead, that he has all authority, that he's with us, then what will you do tomorrow? Those things are true. That's going to have an effect on you tomorrow, this afternoon. As a place to start, I would encourage you to look at his disciples. What did they do? They didn't stay the same. It changed them. It changed everything about their lives. So we'll look more at them in the coming weeks in the Acts of the Holy Spirit through his apostles. But let's think for a moment. He is raised from the dead. He has all authority. He is with us. So what will you do tomorrow? We pray, Father, that you would make us a people who are changed by this reality. Thank you, Father, for this news that changed the world. Let us be a people who bring others to know it in truth. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.